Today on We Really Like Musicals and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about Annie. The Sun will come out tomorrow, but you can bet your bottom dollar that the podcast will come out right now. It's time to follow that little orphan Annie down Easy Street. It might be a hard knock life, but that's okay, because I don't need anything but you. And theme song! Hey everybody, and welcome to We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
And I'm Elise.
You were not paying attention.
I was not at all.
No,
I was half listening. Oh, looking at my notes.
Were you looking at cheddar pretzels?
Okay, fine. I was looking at cheddar pretzels, but also my notes are here.
Okay. Well, guys, if you're wondering, what are Elise's notes even about? Well, let me tell you, they're about the musical Annie, a.k.a. the Lucky Ginger Girl. Not funny, but accurate. Thanks at Let's Talk Leopod for that alternate title. And I guess that's a podcast about Leonardo DiCaprio. So that's cool.
Yeah, I kind of want to check that out.
Do you? What's your favorite Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
Titanic.
Okay. Here's what we did, guys. We took the three movie adaptations of Annie. We watched them. We watched them each. I watched them chronologically. 82, 99, and 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that too?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't compared same but different movies in a long time.
Yeah, we did The Wiz and The Wizard of Oz, which that's a fun episode if you want to go listen to that.
Yeah.
But we rarely have done this. I think this is only the second time we've done it, actually.
But I don't think we've ever done three.
No. So,
that's a first for
now three. Next time we'll have to find some musical with four adaptations and try to have to rank that.
Try to have to rank it. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so that's basically what we're doing today. We're ranking Annie. And I'm going to say we're ranking it on performance and music, not on looks.
I didn't know that needed to be said, but okay.
I want to make it clear.
I mean, we might talk about that, though.
Will we? I'm not going to. You can. Feel free.
All right, maybe let's not.
Yeah. So... Elise,
mm-hmm.
The story of Annie,
mm-hmm.
The classic tale of the little orphan girl. Tell me what had happened with Annie.
Well, what happened was, we had this girl named Annie, right? She don't know where her mom and dad at.
No.
And she had tried to call them, but she don't know their number, so.
Is that part of it? Did she really try to call them?
not once.
Okay.
You know, she got a lot of hope. That they out there, that they want her, that they is looking for her, but...
Maybe.
Maybe. But, so, she believes that in her heart, and she's wrong. But, anyways, so then, there's this guy named... Well, he changes his name, actually. But, most of the time, he's Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks. And then making that money off of wars.
And then Mr. Stacks... Right? That's the...
Yeah, the Jamie Foxx was Stacks because he's cool. I don't make money.
Because he's got stacks of money?
Yeah.
That's kind of on the nose.
So is Warbucks. It doesn't sound on the nose anymore, but
I
think at the time it was probably like Warbucks. Yeah, and the next guy's like Army Dollars.
I think they wanted to rhyme Warbucks with More Bucks as they did in one of the songs.
Yeah, that's the only reason they did it.
I think so.
Except for the character was created before the musical, but continue.
Valid point, I guess. I guess. Your turn.
Oh, we're taking turns. I forgot we do this. Mr. Warbucks. I'm going to call him Mr. Warbucks. He says...
You don't want to call him Daddy?
No, not yet. But...
okay.
I mean, not yet in the plot. Not like... Not me, just like personally. Yeah, we haven't reached that point in our relationship.
You'll get there.
He has to have an orphan come in to like show that he's nice and charitable. Didn't really understand why. It was kind of vague in the first two movies. They kind of make it more sense in the most recent version, the 2014 version. So Daddy Warbucks, he takes in Annie. He's like, I don't know about this girl. And then she's like, I'm cute. And he's like, I like this girl. She could be a daughter of mine. So your turn.
Depending on the movie, he basically says, do you want to be my daughter? And then she says, no.
She says, I still have parents out there waiting for me somewhere. Maybe it's a cannoli shop.
Maybe.
Maybe, I don't know. They have a locket.
That's right. So. She says she wants to find her mom and dad. You know, they try their best. And in the end, they say, hey, guys, listen up. We're going to give you money if you can prove that you're her parents.
I think that's a good place to stop.
Right? Oh, okay. Done.
Yeah. So basically, the search for Annie's parents. I just burped while I was saying parents. Anyways.
All right. I was supposed to do that before the show.
I know. Yeah, it's been a while since... No, you just cough. I burp, you cough. That's what this has turned into, apparently. Mm.
All right.
We really like body noises.
I don't like
Well, let's make a second podcast, a spinoff podcast of just us making weird noises. So, like and subscribe. Rate and review. Here's the deal, guys. So there are three movie...
Okay, sorry.
It's already turning into we really like body noises.
I know. I've been off my allergy medicine, so go ahead.
Why did you say allergy medicine in quotations?
I didn't. I was pointing.
Yeah. So Annie has been made into three movies, but it's based on a Broadway musical. Yeah, so like in the 1982 version... There's like a whole like 15 minutes about finding the dog. And they sing a song called Dumb Dog. And there's a song called Sandy. And I was like, this must be part of the Broadway musical. But nope, looked it up, totally made up. And I was like, why did they do that? Why did they take this Broadway success and say, let's focus on the dog for a little while? You know what I mean?
Why did they do that?
I don't know. Because then the other two versions, they don't. Do that.
We should have watched, that would have been our four if we watched
the original
Broadway.
Well, I watched some clips of the Broadway. I couldn't find the actual thing. Do you know who did Annie on Broadway in 2013?
No.
The little Red Riding Hood from the Into the Woods movie.
Aww.
Which, by the way, I was standing in line at Publix one day getting groceries, and some guy in front of me was talking about her, and he's like, yeah, that's my granddaughter.
That happened so long ago. I forgot about that.
I know, me too. And then when I saw who it was in the 2013 Broadway version, I was like, oh, I met your grandfather. Well, I didn't meet him. I just heard him. I listened to your grandfather.
You said that to the screen?
Mm-hmm. I pointed right at YouTube and I said, I know your granddaddy, YouTube.
Really bizarre, but to each his own.
Okay, let's get into it because I feel like we have three movies to cover.
Let's start with numero uno.
Okay, so 1982, we have this little curly-headed orphan pop up on the movie screens for the very first time. Carol Burnett plays Miss Hannigan. What did you think about that? Let's start with that. What do you think about Carol Burnett as Miss Hannigan? I love you, Miss Hannigan.
Okay. I feel like before I say anything else, I just need to make this clear. And I want to ask you this too. Okay. I think we both said we had seen the 1982 version before, but it's been so long that it's just very...
Yeah.
But then the middle one, the 1999 one, is like, wow. Fave.
That's the one you watch the most?
Yeah, I watched that all the time when I was little. So that one's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And then 2014, never bothered to see it till now.
Yeah,
so,
same.
So just to be very clear, I
you love
was
the
comparing
second.
everything to the second one because that's the one I know the best.
But let me say this before you continue. Having watched all three now and looking at the soundtrack for the original Broadway version, I would say that the second version, the 1999 version, is probably the most like the actual stage production.
Yes. That's what I also read on the internet. The guy who wrote Annie didn't like the 1982 version.
Yeah, I can understand why.
Because it was like too much was different. And what he said about Carol Burnett was she was too like guy crazy and drunk.
Yeah, but I thought that was funny.
So you liked it. So we're going back to our original question.
I liked her performance. I thought it was funny.
But you just like Carol Burnett.
I do. Yeah. I thought she did a fine job. I liked her more than Cameron Diaz in the role in 2014.
I agree. I do agree with that.
And compared to Kathy Bates, who played her in 99, I thought Kathy Bates played it in almost a sweet way. She wasn't as mean as Carol Burnett. And I don't know if I liked that. I just felt like I wasn't, if I was a kid, I wouldn't be scared. But I guess they weren't scared of Carol Burnett either. Everybody got her, they like stomped on her toes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they were pranking her all the time. Yeah. So what I was thinking is Carol Burnett is erring on the side of like child abuse. And, like, definitely crossing a lot of lines.
But it's the 1930s. 1933.
I think, like, with Kathy Bates, it was more of, like, I want to murder them. I'm just doing this for the money. You know, I don't like this job, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, she understood, like, there are certain lines I can't cross. Like, yeah, I'm definitely going to, you know, make them clean the whole building. I'm definitely going to punish them by giving them a toothbrush and telling them to clean the whole place. Et cetera, et cetera. There are things I can do, but I kind of know my limits and like, I don't want to get caught or get in trouble. So kind of like, you know, being smart about it, but still, there was still that hateful vibe to her, but like, I understand what you're saying, but I think Carol Burnett was like too much.
I just thought it was funny.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely funny. I liked Kathy Bates.
To each his own.
Saying that a lot today.
Well, you know, teach his own. So then let's move on to Cameron Diaz in the most recent version.
Okay, so we're skipping around.
Yeah, I mean, this is it's the only way I can think to like compare because we're going to bring it up anyways.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Cameron Diaz, I didn't like her in that role. What do you think?
I'm like definitely a Cameron Diaz fan.
Oh, definitely. I mean, look at the poster behind you.
Okay.
Come on, Charlie's Angels.
Please don't talk about that on the podcast. It's very private.
Sorry. Musicals only. Musicals only.
Right. So I really like Cameron Diaz, but this was awful. This was so bad. I mean, I said, girl, get out of there. What are you doing? You've made a mistake. So bad. And I can't even put my finger on exactly what it is. It's just like all of it.
She's just bad.
I know, I'm just saying bad. It's hard to like put it into words. You just watch it and you just cringe, I think.
Yeah, I was about to say cringe. Cringe is a good word.
Is it bad acting?
I think it is.
Oh, I guess the thing was that she had a good singing career and then, yeah, I don't know, like somebody better came along.
She listened to like early 2000s music, like nonstop. That was weird, right?
I mean, it was weird, but the weirdest thing for me is she was like this famous singer, whatever, but like in the movie, she's like one of the worst singers. So riddle me that. Yeah,
I just thought she was acting like drunk. So if she was singing bad, I was just like, okay.
Well, the problem is that it's just like straight auto-tuned.
Yeah, a lot of the movie felt like that.
Every song in the third movie is just straight auto-tuned.
So let's talk about Little Girls then. The song. Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. What would you like to say about it?
Who did it best? Let's do it like this. We'll mention a song that they all have in common and say who did it best.
Great.
So I don't know why we're starting with Little Girls. I guess because we started with Miss Hannigan, but let's start with Little Girls.
Okay, so we've already talked about Cameron Diaz singing. She's not believable. She's just, I don't know, she's not doing a good job acting. The singing's auto-tuned, and the tune was just completely different. when
yeah,
she
that
sang
was
it.
Weird.
They just changed stuff, like, all the time, like yeah. willy-nilly.
Not just
right.
in that song, but like in several of the songs in the new version, they just like, you get the gist, you know, this is the song, so let's just change bits of it. Didn't yeah. like that. Didn't like no. that at all.
No, I'm outraged. Anyways, so Cameron Diaz, bonk. And then we've got Kathy Bates and Carol Burnett. Well, okay, you know I'm going to pick Kathy Bates because I love her as Miss Hannigan. She mm-hmm. does great. I think she's awesome. She can actually sing and it actually sounds good. I'm proud of her because how many other times is she in singing roles?
I don't know.
Me either. The reason why for real that I'm choosing her is because Carol Burnett did a lot of talking through the song and that was her way of like acting.
Yeah.
Was, oh, I'm going to talk through this part and I'm going to stop singing and like speak this part. And I understood it was, she was acting and it was kind of like to give emphasis or whatever. But I felt like Kathy Bates was able to keep up the acting ability of it without dropping out and speaking randomly like Carol Burnett did.
Right.
Like she still had a lot of like facial expressions and there was still like, you know, she was singing with like gritting through her teeth and stuff like yeah. that. And it worked. And I preferred that. I'd rather it be a song completely instead of like breaking it up.
I think for me, I liked the singing in the first two. Cameron Diaz, let's forget about that one. I didn't even like how it was filmed. It was creepy. The little girls popping up. And I know they did that in all the versions, but in the other ways it was playful. And this one, it was just like scary. Like she was having some weird like hallucination.
I guess it could have been like a drunken stupor.
Yeah, I get that's the vibe probably in all of them. But I just thought it wasn't pulled off well in the most recent version. And I'm not as attached to the one with Kathy Bates. I think she sang it better. But I think like comedically, I thought that Carol Burnett pulled it off better for that scene. Like the jokes were just funnier. I don't know, it was just funnier. But she's a comedian. Kathy Bates isn't known for her comedy necessarily. Yeah, I think Kathy Bates sang it better. But just for me, I like the scene with Carol Burnett more, probably.
I can accept it.
Elise, what song do you want to talk about now?
Okay, so I want to talk about the songs that they added. We talked about that a little bit. So they added Dumb Dog.
Yeah.
And then they sang a whole song about the dog's name.
Yeah,
they were naming
Sandy.
The dog.
Which, wait, by the way, Sandy, oh. when they named the dog Sandy, it's because of the color. Except for the most recent version, they named it Sandy because it's like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Like the hurricane that hit New York. Weird.
Yeah,
odd choice.
Kind of irreverent.
It did. I don't know how I feel about that choice.
So, yeah, that was kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then we've got We Got Annie. That's not from original Broadway, is it? Okay.
We Got Annie. By the way, I was trying to think about this. We're not going to do least favorite song or most favorite song. It's hard to do it with all these different versions.
I at least want to say my favorite song.
Okay, that's fine. But if you get to say your favorite song, then let me say, out of all the adaptations, I think my least favorite song, well, I don't know if it's my least favorite song, but the song that made me laugh the hardest was We Got Annie. I don't know why that song
because
is in there.
Because the dancing.
I mean, the dancing
and the whispering. We Got Annie.
It's just, that's the whole song. The only words. It's like they dance and then they're just like, We Got Annie. They like look at the camera and like wink. We Got Annie.
I know. But it's the dancing that gets me. It's the most incredible dance scene
it's
I've ever seen in my life.
It's so funny.
It really is.
We Got Annie.
I'm like, it's kind of creepy a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. They're like so happy to like, I mean, imagine. Not just like excitement, but imagine some, like if you're trying to foster a kid and they get mm-hmm. you get the call, hey, you got the kid you got to foster. Congratulations. You hang up the phone and you look at your husband and you go, We Got Annie.
And then you do a 5-minute dance sequence.
Yeah. And your husband's just sitting on the couch. I don't know why I'm a woman in this situation. I don't know why that happened. But you do cartwheels down the hallway. Then stop and look at him again and go, We Got Annie. Thanks, hubby.
I just think he'd be like, yeah, I don't want Annie anymore.
I don't want any Annie.
You said it. Oh, then they did a We've Got Annie reprise.
We Got Annie.
Because once wasn't enough. So which was your least favorite of the added songs? Oh, wait, you said We Got Annie.
Yeah, well, I say it's my least favorite, but it's just because it makes me laugh so hard that I can't take it seriously. Like, I think there's probably a worse song. Dumb Dog felt weird and out of place.
I thought Dumb Dog was weird because it paints Annie in a light of being rude to animals.
Yeah, she's a little brat. And she, like, saves this dog, and then she's like, but get out of here, you stupid dog. Or she's like, you're dumb for getting chased or something.
I mean, yeah, these bullies were beating up this animal, and then she's like, you dumb dog. Why?
In the 99 version, Annie felt very sweet but tough. And in the 82 version, she kind of felt just like a brat. Like, she was, like, tough, and there was no sweetness to her necessarily. I mean, there are moments, I guess, but it almost seems fake. Like, she's trying to, like, pull one over on the adults, you know? When she first gets to Daddy Warbucks' place, mm-hmm. and he's like, get her out of here. And she's like, okay, that's fine. I'll go back to be an orphan then or whatever. You know, like, mm-hmm. like she says it, and it's like, it's supposed to be this sweet moment where she's just like happy she had the experience. Mm-hmm. But it seems like she's trying to, like, do a little reverse psychology on him. Just
yeah,
seems a little devious,
catch
like a Dennis the Menace type vibe instead of a sweet little Annie.
No, I didn't catch that. But I think it's probably just the acting.
Yeah.
I feel like she was the youngest Annie of all of them, don't you think?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe she was young.
Or maybe she was old.
Yep.
I don't know. I didn't look that up. We said we weren't going to talk about looks, but I did write about looks. This is going to sound really mean, but I wrote that she's accurately homely for an orphan.
Accurately homely? What does that mean?
Like, so in the middle Annie, she's so freaking cute. It's like,
right.
Really? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, and then in the newest Annie, she's also freaking cute. So, but in this Annie, it's like, yeah, she looks like an orphan. You know what I mean?
Okay, now I get what you're saying.
I just mean that.
You can stop there. We get your point.
Okay, yeah.
Don't dig the hole any deeper.
Sorry. So comparing orphan Annies, she looks the most like an orphan.
She looks the most like the comic character that she's based on.
Yes. But like you said, she was more like tomboy.
Spunky.
Or like wanted to beat people up. I just got that kind of vibe. And then middle Annie was more sweet, really. I mean, it was funny because she was more sarcastic, like at the orphanage, but then outside of it, she was like really sweet.
And it was believable. The 82 version, not believable.
And the newest Annie, I just thought she was sweet.
Yeah, I thought she did a good job. This might be a good place to say this. I think the new version of Annie, they changed the plot so much, but they answered so many question marks I had with the other versions that I think I thought it was a better sculpted story than the first two.
In what way?
Well, it's not as accurate to the Broadway version, but I think like they gave his name Stax in this version. They gave Stax more of a motivation to even talk to the girl. I just always felt like it was a weird, I don't know, it was just a weird thing. Like, hey, we just need you to hang out with an orphan. Like, I get that it would be a good PR move, but I didn't believe that that would actually happen. But for them to like, you know, him to be running for mayor and he saved this girl. Now everybody wants to see the two of them together. It just felt like more of a reason for him to be like, yeah, you can stay with me. In the first version, it's just like, it would look really good on your resume to have a little girl stay at your house.
Well, because the point was that his, I don't remember, his businesses or his stocks or something.
I don't know.
Were going down, and so he was trying to kind of like boost his image and...
Yeah. I get the reason in the first one. I just think it's a better reason in the most recent one. I liked that reason more. I feel like this is a real scatterbrained episode we got going on.
It's going to have to be because I don't know how to do it. But I did write is that I feel like the Warbucks Stacks character development is the best in the third one.
Yeah.
Because in the first two, like in the first one, I felt like Warbucks is too distant, too harsh, too mean. It takes him too long to like come around. And in the second one, he comes around right away, which is kind of interesting. And then in the third one, I feel like it's a really good mixture of he's not really a good guy because he's really caught up in all his stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he really, it takes him a little bit, but then he definitely like starts to shift and come around. And then at the end, you know, you start to really like him.
Yeah.
So I feel like his development was the best. The 2014 one definitely made a couple of those weirder things come together better.
Let's talk about the song Maybe. The one that starts off all the versions. Well, kind of. What do you think about this song?
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
So in the 1982 version, that's the song they open with.
Unless you want to count the version of Tomorrow that they do for like 3 minutes while you just watch like a locket.
Oh, I forgot about the credits. That already. That was so long. And I mean, don't give away that song already.
You know what's weird about the first version, the 82 version, is they sang that song right off the bat during the credits. You don't even know who Annie is yet because you're just watching credits. And then they never sang it again until like way late in the musical, which that doesn't happen in the other versions.
When did they sing it?
They sang it when they have like the meeting with the president. And they're like, we need an orphan, or I don't even remember what they were trying to do. But she was like, I'll do it. I'll be your spokesperson because the sun will come out. Damn, like what?
And she sings it all by herself at first.
Yeah.
And they just all stare at her and she sings it a cappella.
It was supposed to have like this like, hey, it's time for that song. You know, it kind of felt like they were trying to do that. Like, you know, the song everybody knows. It's coming.
You remember this from the credits earlier. Wait, but we're supposed to be talking about Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. This episode doesn't make any sense.
Any sense. I told you, it's too hard. There's so much that I have written down, and I could talk about this for like 8 hours.
All right.
I'm serious. So anyways, back to Maybe. It opens on Maybe, and the first one, didn't like that. And then the second one, I really liked that because it's just this like this cute like intimate moment, and she's with Molly. That's her name, right? The other little girl.
Probably.
I mean, she's basically like encouraging herself, but she's encouraging other people as well, because kind of giving instilling hope in them as well. I don't remember when they sang it in the 2014 one.
They were in their bunk beds and they did this little like hand clap thing. It was kind of cute.
Didn't like that.
You didn't like it? I thought it was a nice version of that song because the 2014 the 2014 version changed the songs so much that some of them were almost not even recognizable.
Yeah.
But that one was actually pretty similar. They just kind of added the little hand clapping. I just remember thinking after watching it, that like that was probably the best adaptation song that they did.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, she says.
But like all of the songs from the 2014 version sound like I took them into GarageBand and I added some like very generic beat to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, it's better.
Honestly, I'm mad about it because
I'm really upset.
I really liked the plot. I really did. I thought it was a compelling version of the story of Annie, and they ruined it with these crappy versions of those songs.
I just felt like they didn't want this movie to be a musical. Like, they were like, we like the idea of the Annie plot. We'd like to change it, like, make it a little bit different. But then some guy was like, okay, but it's a musical, so we're going to have music. And they're like,
yeah, I would have liked it more if they would have taken every song out and just left the plot. I think it would have been a cute little story.
Well, but I would have been mad that they didn't keep the music, which I think you shouldn't do that, you know? You shouldn't take the music away from the musical.
Maybe, but I mean, I think you can tell the story. Like, because Annie, it's not originally a musical. It's based on a comic or a comic, right? An old Saturday morning
cartoon. How do you know all this?
I just always knew. No, everybody knows.
Oh.
Like, it's okay to tell the story of Annie without music, because it didn't originally have music.
I think some people might be upset, though, like me, for instance.
Yeah, but I think
like,
you're
going to remake Annie, but you're not going to include any of the music.
Well, aren't you more upset that they ruined those songs?
It's hard to put my upsetness on a level. I mean, I'm already upset. I don't know if I'd be more upset. Just
settle down.
Upset. I'm really,
calm
really
down, Elise.
Angered right now.
Sit back down.
Okay. All right. I'm back.
So that's maybe...
I don't think it was.
I think we kind of touched on that. Let's talk about It's a Hard Knock Life.
Okay.
I like that song. I think it's one of my favorite songs in the musical.
It's pretty iconic.
I think because it's kind of shifted into pop culture. What did Let's Talk Leopold call it? The Lucky Ginger Girl? Even if you don't know the Lucky Ginger Girl, you know all about the Hard Knock Life.
Now, let's talk about the scenes.
Yeah.
So in the 1982 version, what are your thoughts on that scene?
I thought it was filmed really well. I think it's the most cinematic of all the versions. In the 99 version, it kind of feels like you're watching the stage play, in my opinion.
Okay.
It kind of feels like it's on a stage. Even they do that a lot in the 99 version. They like even the lighting in the room would change, and it kind of had that kind of reminded me of Chicago, the way Chicago would do that.
Yeah.
So I think I liked the original, the 82 version. I don't know. I liked all of them, honestly. That's one scene that I think it held up in all the different versions.
Okay. I felt like in the 2014 one, it was annoying. I thought it was cute that like when they were throwing trash out the window, and the one girl at the bottom was holding the top of the trash can and putting it in the different like recycling bins. There were certain things like that I thought were cute about the 2014 one.
Yeah, like when she squirts the camera with water and then cleans it.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, she had the little squirty bottle and just like points it right at the camera and squirts it and then cleans.
Oh, but what I liked about the 1982 one is that, first of all, there's a lot more kids. So that made it interesting because there's a lot going on. But I thought it was the most accurate as far as kids doing jobs very sloppily, kids would.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting it done, kind of, but they're really not doing it well, and they're not doing it effectively.
And it's not going to shine like the top of the Chrysler building.
Exactly.
So is that your favorite one, or are you still sticking with the 99?
It's so hard to not go with the 99.
I understand.
But yeah, I do think so. I think the 82 one was better because it was really, really accurate. Especially like I work with kids, that is 100% how they clean.
What do you think the Hard Knock Life would be like today, Elise?
I'm not sure. Maybe you have something that you can show me or tell me about.
I think if we were singing about the Hard Knock Life in 2017, it might go a little something like this.
It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us.
We get Hulu.
Nope. Netflix.
iPhone 7.
Nope.
A 6.
It's the hard knock life. Got no streaks on my Snapchat. Where are all my real friends at?
If they liked me,
then I'd see
way more of their
Bitmoji. It's the hard knock life.
Don't you hate when your boss brings you a grande? When a venti is your Starbucks huge?
Once a day when I'm posting to my story, I can't figure out which filter I should use. No one retweets my clever gif on Twitter.
No one laughs at my gif in this group chat.
No one upvotes my funny gif on Reddit.
No one likes all the pictures of my cat.
Oh.
Empty inbox life. 1% left life. I can't even life. No more gloom life. Santa Claus will never see on a new 4K TV. No one cares for you one bit. If you like new Taylor Swift, it's the hard knock life.
So yeah, that's what it would sound like. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
What other songs did they have in common? Do you want to keep covering songs? Goodness gracious, this is a tough podcast to do.
I know. I want to say my favorite song. Can we do that?
Yes. Okay. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song is Easy Street.
Easy Street.
Okay.
You said okay. Yeah, nice try, James. Moving on.
No, sorry. I'm just trying to keep it. Okay.
Let's not fool around anymore. Okay? That's a good way. That'll help us get through this real fast. So
by saying okay.
On the count of three. No more joking.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I gotta count to three.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
One, two, three.
Okay.
Look at me. Okay.
That's Annie. Not serious. You're
all
not being
Annie
serious.
All the time. Now on.
Okay. Okay. So my favorite song is Easy Street.
Easy Street.
I can't.
Oh my gosh. What?
Okay.
I think we're stuck in a time loop right now.
Okay.
Easy Street.
Don't keep doing it. Just making it worse.
Sorry.
Maybe you should go first.
I'm talking about Easy Street?
Yeah.
I like the song Easy Street. I think it sounded fun. It's a fun musical number. I liked how Tim Curry played Rooster in the 82 version.
Just because like his mustache that went over his mustache.
It was kind of funny, yeah. And him and Alan Cummings, who played it in the 99 version, they both they're really good at smiling in this weird, creepy, sinister, like almost cartoony smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought both versions of Easy Street in the two earlier versions was really good. Having said that, the 2014 version of Easy Street, what? That's
what?
All I have to say.
Yeah, agreed.
What even was that? I mean, first of all, they replaced Rooster and his girlfriend with just one dude who's not even related to Miss Hannigan, which I understand. In the early versions of Easy Street, when they start dancing and singing together, it's almost like, hey, you're my sister, I'm your brother, this is kind of what we do. And in the new version, it was kind of like, you don't know each other. And you're at a bar dancing, and it's just, I don't know, it was a sloppy version of the song, too. The guy's voice was horrible.
Well, and they cut it off, really, like, weirdly. Like, they were in the middle of singing, and then it cuts to them again talking at the table. And then it kind of cuts to them dancing again, and then it cuts to them at the table again.
Yeah.
And I just didn't even know if it was, like, did they already dance, or is that, like, they're just, like, thinking in their heads about dancing later?
Yeah, it threw off the rhythm of the song.
Yeah, it was very... I hated it. I believe the second version of Annie has the best Easy Street scene because...
Well, it is very similar to the first one, though, I think, if I remember correctly. I think it is very similar, but I agree with you. It's better.
I remember when I watched the first one thinking of all the ways it was different.
In the 99 version, they pretty much just stay in one room, and in the 82 version, they, like, walk down the stairs, and that was kind of fun. You know, when stairs are involved, I mean, let's try not to have a good time when stairs are involved.
One way to step it up. Like, most of the song took place in the office in the second movie, and they utilized the space really creatively, I think.
Yeah.
And then they end up walking outside, and that cracks me up every time because Kathy Bates just, like, swings her arms in the air. Like, she doesn't do any sort of dance move, but it's so true to her character. Like, she doesn't know. She's just like an older lady that watches kids.
Yeah.
And she's just having a good old time out in the street, the easy street. And I just love it. I think it's so funny. That's what got you?
Yeah. I just, you, it was like you set yourself up for your own joke. Like, she's having fun out on the street, the easy street.
And then she goes to the bar with them and just leaves the kids.
Is that what that was, a bar? Because they just went into like a dark room.
And they sat down. they just all sit on the bar stools at the same time on the beat.
Okay. On the beat, the easy beat.
No more jokes.
That wasn't a joke. You know, I'm thinking, I'm feeling like we might have to return to each version of this at a later point, you know?
What do you mean?
Because there's just so much to cover.
Well, it's too late now.
Well, no, I'm saying this is a ranking episode, but mm-hmm. I feel like at some point in the future, there's just so much content that we're obviously leaving out mm-hmm. that I think we should return to each one of these versions at some point in the future. But let's make it way in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to lose my notes.
Put it under your pillow.
For what? Like a year? Absolutely not.
We'll have an anniversary on the same day in a year.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep. What do you think about the way each movie ended?
Okay, so in the first one, they get away with Annie. Rooster, his girlfriend, who's named... Saint something?
Lily St. Regis.
St. Regis after the hotel.
You dumb hotel, which by the way is the greatest insult I've ever heard.
And Miss Hannigan, they all escape with Annie. They get away with it, basically. And then they get chased because the little orphan girls found out about the plan. That was different than the 99 version, because in the 99 version, they never actually escape because... Rooster's girlfriend, the hotel.
They tell her to stay behind with the orphans while they go and make this deal. Then the girls are trying to get out of her what's going on because they know something weird's happening. They basically kind of talk her into the idea of basically believing, oh, they're not going to come back for you. Like, they're going to get the money and go. They're not going to, you're never going to see them again. And she's like, you wouldn't do that to me. And then she's like, yeah, he would. Basically, she's just upset because she just thinks he's going to leave her.
And then in the 2014 version, Miss Hannigan kind of gets a little redemption after so many years of being the bad guy.
I think they didn't want the foster mom to be just the villain person. The whole time.
People are so used to the plot already, they probably wanted a little twist of like, oh, here's something different. You didn't see that coming. I didn't hate it. I mean, for the plot, I think the plot of that particular version, I think that worked okay. But what was the question again? Which one did I like the most?
Yeah, like the way that the story ended.
I think I liked the 82 version a lot, but I think it took too long. I thought it was weird how they never left the house in the 99 version. Mm-hmm. It just seemed to wrap up too quick.
Did you like that Rooster was all of a sudden like a murderer?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
You did?
I guess so, yeah.
Because what confused me is she had already ripped up the check.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, well, what good's it going to do to murder her at this point? It'd be different if she had the check and he was chasing her, but it was like the opportunity was already missed and now I was like, fine, let's finish the job, let's kill her. So let's play Rate My Facts. Here comes the theme song.
Rate my fact.
And that's a fact.
Great introduction.
I feel very rushed. Okay, I have one fact for each Annie because we got to get through this. So let's do our Annie number one fact. Are you ready?
Yes, is this from 1982?
Yeah.
All right.
The fact is from 1982. Okay, so this is a two for one.
Okay.
It does not mean that I combined two facts. It
yeah, just no, means I get
this
you.
This has a lot of info. Okay. Sean Connery mm-hmm. was approached to play Warbrux.
Yeah, Warbrucks.
Warbrucks. But he didn't want to appear bald.
Huh.
Also, Steven Martin was offered the role of Rooster.
Steven Martin?
Steven? Is that what I said?
Yeah, you did. Steve Martin.
Warbrux and Steven. I can speak just fine. Rooster, but turned it down because he and Bernadette Peters had just broken up and he felt it'd be too painful to work together.
I never knew they dated.
4 years.
I knew they were in The Jerk together. And I like Bernadette Peters. I forgot she was in the first one. We didn't talk about that. I like Tim Curry. I think Tim Curry probably works in that role better, even though I love Steve Martin.
Steven Martin.
Steven Martin. I love Steven Martin. So I'm going to give that fact mixed in with the Sean Connery fact. Him not wanting to be bald. That's weird.
Yeah, isn't it?
You're an actor. Like, you morph to whatever role you're cast in. You know, and just be like, oh, I don't want to be bald. I won't do it.
I know.
That's
grow up.
I know. Seriously, grow up. Shave your head. I'll give that fact, even though it's two facts, I'll give it an 8.
Ooh.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Preach. Annie number 2.
99. Feeling
right.
Fine.
Kristen Chenoweth, mm-hmm. who played Lily St. Regis.
Yes.
In the 99 version, auditioned for the title role in the original film, Annie. And she got to the final stages of the audition process, but they turned her down because her southern accent was too thick.
Oh, that's too bad.
Too thick and too bad.
She was in Wicked, right?
She sure was.
So she's fine. She's doing fine. She didn't need Annie in her life, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I like that fact, though. That's interesting. I'm going to give that an 8, too. That's along the same lines as the other one.
All right.
Now, hey, did you know, I have a fact about, speaking of the original Annie.
Okay.
Do you know she was in the 99 version?
Who?
The original Annie on Broadway.
Oh.
She grew up, so she's an adult in 1999, and she was in the 99 version.
Who was she?
There's a redheaded girl that sings at the movie theater.
You know what? I definitely thought that was the case, but yeah. I did not look into it.
Yeah, that's her. And did you know that the 1982 version of Annie is in the 2014 version?
When?
When they're casting Annie's parents, the guy that's like the bad guy, he's walking through the house and he sees this like redheaded woman and he's like, interesting choice, but no.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, back to our facts.
Back to reality. Oh,
Annie number 3. Do you remember when Sony Pictures was the victim of a major hack of their computer systems?
No.
You don't remember
But I
that?
Believe you. Well, maybe. Maybe I remember it a little
remember
bit.
Remember the movie that, I think it was called The Interview with Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
And that one was like a big deal. And so the computer hackers didn't want that being, I guess they didn't want Sony making money off of it because of
South Korea or North Korea.
Yeah. When that happened, Annie was one of the ones that got released early because they had hacked into Sony and gotten all their movies. So Annie was actually released like 3 weeks before it was supposed to be by computer hackers. Rate that fact.
Okay, computer hackers. Okay. That's kind of interesting, I guess.
I mean, the computer hacking of Sony Pictures was like a huge deal.
And we got Annie 3 weeks in advance because of it.
And probably no one cared, but we got it anyway.
I'll rate that a 7.
Okay. 7, 7. That's
just like
bad.
The hickeys in Greece.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
All right. Are you ready for our next game?
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right.
Please.
This is a second time around the block segment called Singer, I Hardly Know Her.
Yay.
And for today's segment, the title has a little colon, and then we have the rest of the title, which is, Who Would You Rather Adopt? Okay, so we've got our three Annies. You have to decide who you're going to adopt.
Oh, this is fun.
So we've got Aileen Quinn. That's her name.
Aileen Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine woman.
Yes, exactly. So here's her number one fact.
Okay.
The first show she ever was in was ironically Annie Get Your Gun. Fact number 2. She took a break from acting and she went to school and she got a BA with honors in Spanish and minored in political science.
Okay, good for her.
Yeah, awesome. All right, third fact. She went back into acting, but then she also formed a rockabilly swing blues band, appropriately named Aileen Quinn and the Leapin' Lizards.
Got it. Okay.
Is that like a disappointed or?
Yeah, a little bit. Like Leapin' Lizards. I mean, you know, be your own girl. Don't try to make money off the success of your past.
Okay. All right. So that was Aileen Quinn. All right. So now we're going to talk about Alicia Morton.
Let's do it.
She's our 1999. She beat 3,000 girls to win the part of Annie. She beat them
with her fists. Okay.
Yep, you got it. Number 2. When she was 6 years old, she played Molly in Annie at her school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I thought you'd like that. And you guys were like the same age, so
yeah, we probably went to school together.
You probably did.
I knew how she looked familiar. I'm not even kidding. When she popped up on the screen, I was like, she looks familiar to me.
Nuh-uh.
I swear I thought that.
Did you go to school in Baton Rouge?
Mm-hmm.
How many schools are there in Baton Rouge?
One.
Well, probably not. But that's crazy. That means you literally probably lived like within 30 minutes.
I'm going to have to look up which school. See, I knew I was stalking this girl for a reason.
That's actually really blowing my mind.
I'm going to look up on Facebook, see if we have mutual friends.
Good luck. All right. Number three fact. Okay. She co-starred with Ricky Martin in Les Mis on Broadway. She was Cosette.
Ricky Martin? Who did Ricky Martin play? Was he Jean Valjean?
He probably was.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So that's Alicia. We're done with Alicia.
Bye, Alicia. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. Bye, Felicia.
Okay, yeah. I made a joke.
You made a really good joke, but then you like were really unsure. Final Annie. Her name is Queven Zane A.
Bless you.
Queven Zane. I think that's how we say it.
Queven Zane. What is Queven Zane?
Queven Zane Wallace.
Okay. All right.
Number one. I don't know how to say this. Houma. Is that Houma, Louisiana?
That's where she was born. Another Louisiana girl?
Yeah.
Gosh, born in Louisiana. Annie's popping out of this thing like a freaking orphanage door.
That's one way to say it. But yeah, I found that really interesting that at least two of them were from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Do you know what city that is?
Houma?
Houma.
No, never heard of it.
How am I doing?
Fine.
All right, number two. When she was 5 years old, she lied about her age to audition for her very first acting job, which was the starring role in Beasts of the Southern Wild, because the minimum age to be considered was 6.
Oh, that's the same girl?
Queven Zane Wallace.
I didn't know that. That was a big hit, right? I don't know if I ever saw it. I think I did.
Yeah, it was. I never saw it. Number three. She's the first African-American child actor to receive an Academy Award nomination.
For Beasts of the Southern Wild, not for Annie, right?
Correct. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you have to decide which little orphan you're going to adopt.
You know, I feel like my 99 girl, Alicia,
mm-hmm.
I feel like... You know, we have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
We'd really get along. I mean, Baton Rouge, you know, I mean...
Ricky Martin.
Yeah, I mean...
Beating 3,000 girls.
Yeah, all of that. I think I would pick her.
Okay.
I would adopt her. She's the same age as me. I would adopt her.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up because then I thought it'd be difficult for you to think about adopting.
Adopting?
It's like abducting mixed with adopting. Okay, so I've got a very short segment. It's called, oh, those are the words? Okay. Now, this segment I created because I watched the 99 version a lot when I was little, and there were some lyrics, just really two of them, that I was very confused about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what I always thought they were, literally until this last time I listened to it.
Okay.
And then you're going to tell me what the correct lyrics are.
Okay. I like this game.
Okay. So I'll give you the song title and then I'll tell you the words and then you tell me the correct lyrics.
Got it.
Okay. So first song is Hard Knock Life. 7-year-old Elise thought that the words went something like this. Got no folks to speed or so. It's the hard knock roll. Wee-o.
Row-ee-o?
Roll? Wee-o.
Just like a wee-o.
But just like wee-o.
I know. I think I know the last part is it's the hard knock row wee-ho.
Correct.
Like a row.
So I had to look up that phrase because that's bizarre and I had never heard of that. And it just means a particularly difficult or problematic task or situation.
So I got that part right, but the first part, got no folks. Say it again.
Got no folks to speed or sew.
gotten us folks to speak of, so.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good job. I'm very impressed.
I play Mad Gab a lot, you know.
It's kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I was that kid that always thought I knew all the lyrics, and I just sang them loud, and then people would correct me, and I'd say, nah, you're wrong. All right, and our final lyrics in this very short segment.
Yes.
The song is Easy Street.
Easy Street.
And, exactly, you got it. And 7-year-old Elise thought that he was saying Sugary Pete. So you tell me what the correct lyric is.
Sugary Pete.
It goes a little something like this. Sugary Pete. Easy Street.
I want to say it's like, should we something? No?
Nope.
Okay, well, gosh, this is hard. Sugary Pete. I have no idea with this one. No, Sugary Pete makes no sense.
No.
Sounds like a cereal.
Yeah, it's a good name for a cereal. I'd buy that.
Pour yourself a bowl full of Sugary Petes.
So, do you give up?
Yeah.
So, the correct lyric is, she'd repeat, referring to his mother talking about Easy Street.
Yeah.
Sugary Pete.
So, wait, his mom is Sugary Pete?
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting this right? Am I following?
Okay. All right, that concludes. Oh, those are the words? Our new segment.
I like the title of it, too. So we got to rate these.
All right. Go ahead and rate it.
So I'll start with the 82 version. I'm going to rate that one. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
The 99 version, I really liked it. I think it's more like the Broadway version, as we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think parts of it feel like you're watching a stage play, which I don't know if I liked that necessarily. But I did like it more than the 82 version. This is hard. I want to give it a higher score, but it might just have to be like barely higher. Like maybe like a 7.8.
Oh, wow. That close.
They're very similar in my opinion. I didn't grow up with the 99 version. Anyways, 2014, I don't know, a 5. I give it a 5.
Okay.
But I want to say this again.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like the plot out of the new one the most. I feel like it was more developed. So I guess my ranking then is least 2014, second least 82.
And the least.
The least, or the most, is the 99. I like that. I suck on that.
All right, my turn.
Yeah.
I give 1982, I gave that a 7.5.
Ooh, ties.
Which is the same. Because I really like it, but there's certain things I'm just kind of like, what? I'm just surprised it only got a 52 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm.
Then 1999 Annie, I gave that a 9.5.
9.5.
And yeah, I wonder what I would give it if I hadn't seen it growing up. But I mean, there were several movies I watched over and over and over, and this is one of them.
I did love how it felt like a 90s movie. Like, even though it's not set in the 90s, it had that feel of, like, one of those classic 90s movies, like The Big Green or Little Rascals or the ones I used to watch a lot. So, I don't know. Or Matilda. It had that feel to it.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it so much. And I kind of forgot, because I haven't seen it in forever. But as soon as I watched it, I just was, like, so happy the whole time.
You were like, I don't need anything but this soundtrack.
I don't need anything. So there are certain things, like it's not completely perfect, but I think it's a really, really good version. And it was just released on TV, which is just so strange.
I didn't know
on
that.
ABC. Therefore, it's not even rated on Rotten Tomatoes. And then 2014, guess this Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, I don't know, 21?
Close, 27. But I'm giving it a 3.
Okay, is that the lowest we've ever given?
That's the lowest I've ever given anything. And it's because it had some potential.
Oh, okay.
But it, like, squandered it, and then it took all the, like, really great things about the other ones and made it horrible. Clearly, I'm saying 99 is number one.
Mm-hmm.
82 is number two.
Two.
And now I'm doing it backwards. 2014 is number three.
So we did the same, basically.
We did. Well, I think, although it's scattered, we covered a lot of ground.
We did our best to talk about the highs and lows of these. Not the deets. We didn't get down and dirty with all of them, but we talked about the highs and lows of all the different versions of Annie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so are we done with Annie? Do we have anything left to say?
Maybe.
Okay, that's a no. Okay, so that's going to do it for our Annie episode. I got you. Are you chewing on a cheddar pretzel?
Yeah, because I didn't know you were going to start again.
So, guys, next week we are talking about a very Potter musical. It's on YouTube in its full grandeur?
Grandeur.
Okay. Anyways, so check that out, guys. It's very funny. If you're familiar with Harry Potter at all, it spoofs Harry Potter very well. And the songs actually aren't half bad.
Check it out tomorrow.
Anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at WRLM Podcast, or you can follow us on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals, and give us those A Very Potter Musical alternate titles. That should be funny. Maybe. Please do it.
Maybe.
All right, that's going to do it for We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell your opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James.
And I'm Elise.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Sugary Pete.
Musicals. Jam.